you? No. Why would I be mad?
I'm just telling you the truth, okay? As I see it.
I'm not mad at you.
This is not. No, I know, but listen.
You said I'm mad at you. I'm not mad at you.
Oh, I think you are. I think you see the Canadians as a home ice team, and they're not.
No, I never said that. Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick until 7, Al's this week with Campbell for the last time in Gallo. And then at 8 o'clock tonight, we have the Packers and the Bears at Lambeau right here. Earlier today on Off the Cuff with Chris Nyland.
Well, I think the biggest change today is the age of free agency. And I think that you have to make some decisions maybe too early. Because as we know, and we've seen it with recent contracts, and I'm not negated. I commend the players. Players deserve to get and be paid, as well as they possibly can, for the contribution that they're given. But we sometimes in this era, to answer your question, we have to make decisions too premature, because the demands, are real, and the leverage is more on the player's side at a certain time.
Toronto Maple Leafs General Manager Lou Lamoriello.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Voted called Montreal's best sandwich in Montreal third year in a row. Thanks, Montreal. You gotta love a Dagwood sandwich.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I enter this segment with serious trepidation and reserve.
Uh-oh.
I'm joking. I say this with all honesty, what Mr. Lamoriello just said. Now you know why they want a 20-year-old draft. Now you know why. He just told you.
Yeah, well, that's why I started there, because I have a feeling we're going to talk about the Habs blue line again. But I didn't want to. I wanted to get that in before I forgot about it, because it's pretty important, and it's topical, because, as Pierre just pointed out, there are a lot of people in executive offices who have that feeling, and I think for the first time publicly, it was articulated with Knuckles and Campbell earlier today.
Oh yeah, that's a great soundbite for Sean and Chris to be able to get out of Lou Lamoriello, because he's usually very tight-lipped. But I think he knows what he's staring at because of what happened in Edmonton this summer with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and before that with Jordan Eberle and with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. They've created a marketplace, so now you're looking at with Nylander, obviously with Marner, with Austin Matthews. They're going to maybe Morgan Riley long-term, who knows. They're looking at a really tough situation keeping their team together with the young players. They really are.
I have a solution, yep. Pierre.
Trade one?
No. Well, they're forced to. You don't want to have to draft and develop really good players, and then you're right. The situation that exists now is you're forced to trade them. You're forced to trade somebody, right? Because you do a good job as an organization.
Yep.
Soften the cap.
I don't think that'll happen. I think if you look at it, I don't know the pure numbers. I used to know them really, really well. I don't know the pure numbers as well. But I would say of the 31 teams this year, you'd probably have 20 that would say, we're okay with the soft cap, and you probably have 11 who say, no way, not a chance.
Give each team a franchise player, then.
What's that?
Give each team a franchise player.
Like the Larry Bird rule in basketball? I think that's a good idea. I do. I think that's a good idea. I don't know if they'll do that, but I think that's a really good idea. That's a great compromise.
Because on the one hand, I understand what Lou Lamoriello just said there, but that legally, that won't happen. That just won't happen. There's no way the Players Association will sign off on that.
No, you and I talked about it. It's a Spencer Haywood rule. It's already been appointed in a court of law. It went to the Supreme Court. So I know what they want, but it's just not going to happen. Do I think there's merit for a 20-year-old draft? Absolutely. We've talked about it ad nauseum on this show. There are not enough 18- and 19-year-old men that could even, young men, who can play in the league. They're not physically ready. A 20-year-old's different. 21-year-old, really different. But that's part of the problem. You've got, players and teams and situations where the teams have to put the player in because they don't have enough. Then within 6 years of them turning pro, so whether it's, 25 or 26 for most of them, they're becoming unrestricted free agents due to collective bargaining, and that makes it really tough, really, really tough.
That's the way the Canadiens have to be.
McCarron to Drouin, walking in, backhand, scores! Weber finding Drouin, he got in behind the defenseman. A little head fake, great hands, 1-0 Montreal.
Well, that's the kid. I mean, he's got great skill.
And it's kicked up to the hash marks. Mete racing in to try and keep it alive, and he does. So it'll trickle to the front of the net. Shaw shoots and scores. Andrew Shaw got a good bounce. He goes glove side, top shelf, 2-0 Montreal.
Well, pretty quick hands by Shaw there.
Well, it started well.
Started well for Montreal, but four straight goals by the Leafs, and the Canadiens are 0-6 in the preseason. 4-2 the final here at Quebec City.
So, Pierre, what do you take out of that one?
You can see some guys were trying. Look at McCarron. Let's talk about him to start.
Yep.
Gets involved physically. What did I tell you he had to do yesterday? I would have challenged him physically or verbally or both. And he got involved. Good for him. And you see the quotes from the coach. Clearly somebody got to him. That's what you do with those kinds of players. But I'll show you why he's still a work in progress. At a key time in the game when he has a 2-on-1, he tries to make a hard pass rather than just drilling it on goal and either beating the goalie or getting a rebound. And instead of having a quality opportunity, it turns into nothing. It's a scouting slogan where plays go to die. You know, you don't want to be that player when they write on their report by your name where plays go to die. He doesn't make plays. It's a problem.
Now a 2-on-1 developing. McCarron, right side. Mike McCarron tried the dish pass. He had Galchenyuk going to the net. In a pretty good spot to shoot.
All right, this is a really interesting topic to discuss because it goes to the crux of scouting. You understand what the guy is thinking as he's, you know, he's on the bubble. He hasn't had a good camp. There's a glorious opportunity for him that opens up, and on his right is a goal scorer. So he's thinking, I gotta set up the goal scorer. But when that much room becomes available, man, that's instinct, right, Pierre? I mean, that's just instinct.
That's why I brought it up. We don't tell the people. We don't ever rehearse this show.
No,
never do. And that's why I brought it up. That's a scouting phenomenon right there. That would tell me, one, that Toronto knows that he is what he is as a player, and so they probably had a meeting before the game. And the other thing is the defenseman knew that take away the pass. Take it away. Force the guy to make a decision with the puck, and he did. He did the right thing, the defenseman, because he paid attention in the scouting meeting before the game. That's what happens.
A player should be cognizant of his own virtues and flaws, I think, right, Pierre? And if so, can you at times try to overcompensate to the point where it negatively affects you?
Yes, that's really well said. I totally concur, because confidence is such a big part of this. And that's why more times than not, you'll hear me say, I'd rather have the glass half full than half empty, and keep telling players, play to your identity. If you're a skater, skate. If you're a fighter, fight. If you're a hitter, hit. If you're a forechecker, forecheck. If you're a defensive player, defend. Play to your strengths. Then you won't lose your confidence. But once you start to lose your confidence because you're trying to be something you're not, that's when you get into trouble. And that's usually when you get the tap in the door and they say that the GM or the coach wants to see you. And then it becomes a problem because you know you're not going to be there.
After last night's game.
I think right now there's some guys that have to seize that opportunity to gain those spots that are open for them. You know, there's two more games left, but we're getting near the end. And there's a lot of players that are having that opportunity that we know are better than what they've shown right now.
All right, so he is talking about bubble players there, not one, but I want to single one out here. I didn't see the game. I was at a game that actually mattered, but I know based on what Gallo was talking earlier with Ray Ferraro and others, Brandon Davidson's had a really rough camp.
Yep. Pierre,
when they got him last year, he didn't look out of place. He looked like he could be somebody, so much to the point where in the elimination game, Nathan Beaulieu was scratched because he was inconsistent. And Brandon Davidson, they saw something in him that was working as a third pairing or a 6D that they liked. What was it about him that they liked, and what happened to it?
Energy. He's an energy guy. He was probably caught up in the moment of coming over from a team where he wasn't always getting the best opportunity, the sensing that maybe he was going to get a new opportunity in Montreal, original 6 team. But he had energy. I mean, I was there to do that game. I'll never forget Torrey Mitchell and Brandon and Nathan Beaulieu were the two guys, I believe, that were scratched that night, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
I know Beaulieu was for sure, and I'm pretty sure Torrey was as well. And listen, that's a lot of games ago for me, but I remember coming on the air with you right the next day and saying, this is not good for those guys. But Davidson, I think they saw as a positive energy type defenseman. He can shoot the puck. He can get physical, even though he's not overly large. And he's not a dumb player. He makes some pretty good decisions. He's had a bad camp. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, and I don't think Mark Bergevin will, and I'm sure Claude won't in a one-on-one, but he's had a bad camp. That's the reality of it.
Pierre, what does it take for a team to keep a player who's not like an established player, like a player like Davidson, if he's had a bad camp, but you think it's going to turn around? Can you do that, or does that send the wrong message to the guys on the bubble trying to make the team?
It's tough to do, especially where they are right now. Remember what we talked about, Mitch Gallo? You always want to have your player play to the identity, but you also have to create a team identity. So one thing I think everybody's talked about with Montreal is, with the addition of Drouin in particular, that they're, and Gallagher being there, even though he only had 11 goals last year, they were counting on an offensive resurgence from this team. They weren't talking about their defense anymore because it's a new coach and it's a new style, and they wanted to have the identity of being an attack-oriented, charge-oriented, goal-scoring type of team. They've played 6 preseason games. They've got 9 goals. It's not working. So that's part of what you're talking about. The identity of that stuff, it's not easy to fix. It just is not.
Today at practice,
I don't want him just labeled as, you know, Webby's partner. And, you know, throughout a season, you mix and match Ds, and we want to see how well he does with that situation as well.
Victor Mete paired on the third pairing in practice today with Jordy Benn. Shea Weber for tomorrow's game against Florida gets Jacob Yarabin.
He's a guy that can play both sides, so can obviously Benn. So we're just, yeah, obviously looking at, we're really happy with his camp so far. And so we need to find out a little bit more about the player, and so that's what we're doing right now.
All right, read between the lines, Pierre, the fact that Mete will be paired with Benn right now.
Well, I think they want to give, you know, Yarbik the best opportunity because, you know, obviously they've put a lot of collateral into this too. They know what they have in Mete. They know what they have, which is good. That's great. That's a positive coming out of this camp too. It's a very, very positive story. But, you know, I don't want to see him get crushed. I just physically don't think he's ready to play in the league. We'll see. I could be totally wrong. I've been wrong before. I could be totally wrong. I don't think I am in this case, but we'll see. But I think they also realize that now they're getting near the end here, and they need to know what they have with the rest of the defensemen.
If a need positionally is apparent to a coaching staff or a manager, can that override what you may or may not be seeing from a player if they haven't been great, for example?
Yes, I think there's some merit to that too. What's interesting, just before I came on with you, I was talking with a high-profile NHL person, and we were talking about Montreal, and he basically said, you know, it's interesting that everybody talks about all the cap room they have. Who's going to give them a player that's worth that kind of cap room right now? That nobody's trading those kinds of players. They're not. You know, you don't even, Duchesne hasn't even been moved yet. So that's part of, you know, the tough part about this time of the year. Everybody thinks their players are a little bit better than maybe they are. Everybody thinks their teams are a little bit better than maybe it is. And so you hopefully can figure it all out, but it's not that easy at this time.
Well, and again, this is a stretch, but a player like Matt Duchesne, he's going to be traded at some point. And if he's traded here, that eats up a chunk of that salary cap. But again, I don't see a match unless there's a third team involved here or I'm missing something. I don't see a match with Montreal as good a fit as he might be here. I just don't see it. But so there is interesting that fans latch onto this stuff, right, with John Tavares, a possibility. There was a development today on Long Island. Tell us about Belmont Park, Pierre.
Well, we've been talking about that for a while, where the horse track is. I think that in the perfect world, that's where Scott Malkin and John Ledecky, the two primary owners of the New York Islanders, would like to move their team. the development that you're alluding to, I don't know about, but I know I brought it up to you for a while that that's where they've been looking to go. So you'd have to share with me what the development is.
Well, it's just that would be part of the development, and I think the more important part of this story that moved this afternoon was that the Islanders have let people know, because they themselves won't know until the new year about possibly building there. No discussion on a contract extension, new contract, whatever, for John Tavares until January 1. Don't ask us about Tavares until January 1.
Yeah, this was not part of their plan. I can assure you of that. I really personally believe they thought they were getting a Tavares deal done right after the draft. And what happened was Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl came onto the scene, and that changed everything. And I wish nothing but the best. I really mean this because I know Mr. Malkin and I know John Ledecky. John Ledecky gave a primo, unbelievable talk to our NBC hockey group last year at our meeting, which will take place this year, this coming Monday. He was phenomenal. He was so good. I was so enlightened. And then I had the privilege of being invited by the ownership group to speak to their fathers on their father's trip in New York. So I went to go see their fathers, and Mr. Malkin and Mr. Ledecky were there. So I think both those owners are phenomenal people. They have the right ideology for how to make it work. But I think not. There's two things that I think have happened there, Mitch. One, they didn't get Duchesne, and they put Hamonic out there, and Colorado said, no, we don't want that. So that hurt them. They didn't get Duchesne then, and I don't think they're getting them now. And then the other one was they really thought, I really believe, that right after the draft they were getting Tavares signed, and they have not. And now you just give me this breaking news. They pushed it back after January 1st.
Yeah.
I think that's problematic. And I'm going to tell you two teams that I think will try to get him. I know there'll be a ton, but I think Detroit and I think Buffalo will be the two leading contenders for John Tavares.
Yeah, the first time we asked you about it, you threw Buffalo. Montreal is obviously another one, right, that would certainly have interest.
Yeah, they have to be in play. If I'm Jeff Molson, I'm hard as heck on getting John Tavares. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But why Buffalo?
Close to home. His uncle was a legendary, was and is still alive, but was a legendary lacrosse player there. It's very close to where he's from, obviously, in Oakville. I think they have a budding team, which is exciting to him. And, you know, it's more of a Canadian market. And then you look at Detroit, same thing. It's right across the river from Windsor. It's an original six team, brand new building. I think those are the two teams that would be a legitimate contender for him. Obviously, Montreal as well would be one.
All right, let's finish up with, actually, there's something positive about the Canadiens, even though they're 0-6, something positive?
I think we're moving the puck really well. Obviously, we don't have the exact results we want. We got a few goals, but I think that it's going to give a different look for sure. It's dynamic. I mean, you got a lot of options, and that's what you want in the power play. You don't want teams to be able to take away one thing. I think there's a bunch of different ways we can attack, and the more we play together, we're going to get more chemistry and get even better.
It's going to get better and better. We're just starting, I think, a couple of practices and a couple of games. You know, like I said, more practice, and it's going to be even better than that. But I think we're moving it well, getting shots, opportunities in front of the net, and just got to converge on those.
Jonathan Drouin and Shea Weber on what they hope will be an improved power play, and with the scoring issues that you just outlined, it better be, right?
Yeah, they need it. They've got to be in the top five in scoring on the power play. They have to. It's just not going to be easy 5-on-5. It's the same old story. There's no thrust down the middle. And, you know, they're hoping, obviously, that Jonathan can have a huge year, which he probably should. And I'm sure they're hoping that Brendan's going to have, you know, a lot of energy from having played with Pacioretty and potentially Jonathan. And then you hope that they can find some other offense, some other places. Maybe Galchenyuk's one of those guys. Who knows? But it's, power play is going to have to be really, really good. Really, really good.
All right. There's one other thing, because we got caught up, as we always do, in this market about Montreal, that I wanted to get to, with you yesterday. We didn't have time.
In general, it feels pretty decent, even though it's a weird feeling.
So you won't be ready for opening night?
Most likely not, no. Again, anything can happen, but we'll see how it reacts here once I get into the things a little bit deeper and start again taking more reps and doing more things, with body contact and game speed. But again, it's a good sign that I'm finally skating and
even though it's a strange feeling and it feels a lot different. You know, I feel like I can manage it pretty good.
That was Erik Karlsson yesterday. Yep. We also learned that he had half of his ankle bone removed. Should fans be concerned?
I think any time that happens, it's not normal. It's not a normal body type to have, especially when you're as explosive a skater as he is. I'm not a doctor, an orthopedic surgeon, but I can't imagine that's normal. So I think fans should be concerned, but I don't think it's a secret that he wasn't going to be ready for the start of the year. I think most people thought that he wasn't going to be ready for the start of the year. I watched them play against Winnipeg last night, and they didn't have their A lineup, and they flew out the day of the game, which is not easy to do. I think Ottawa is better than people think, and Colin White, once he gets healthy off this broken wrist, is going to make a big difference there. They're going to get Brassard back. He's going to be a difference maker. Thomas Chabot is really good. You know, I was concerned about them losing Mark Methot, but I would tell you that watching Freddie Claesson play in particular in the playoffs and Cody Ceci play, I think that they've got some defense. It's a lot better than people think. Ottawa's going to be tough. Ottawa is not going away, and it comes down to Guy being, you know, able to play young players. He wasn't able to do that last year. And that's, if you were to ask me, their one flaw is that they did not trust their young players enough. They're going to need to. That's one thing they're going to need to do.
Thanks as always, Pierre. Have a great night. We'll do it again tomorrow prior to the Habs and Panthers on TSN 690.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. Appreciate it.